Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good, and He's faithful. Praise the Lord. Praise God for that wonderful praise time. Give God praise, for He's worthy of all of our praise. I'm honored today to be standing up here today. Y'all praying for me? Amen. Keep on praying. I am delighted to be able to come and enter into this conversation we've been having for the last few weeks. What if? And today we're going to talk about what if we were all committed to the mission. What if we were all committed to the mission? Before I get into it, let us just have a word of prayer. The Lord may guide us through this time. Lord, we just say thank you today for this wonderful privilege that we have to come and gather, to worship you, to share in your word, fellowship together. We do it because you've commanded us to, and it's a wonderful thing for us to do. You tell us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and we come together to encourage one another, to listen to your word so we might know how to then live. And this morning, Lord, we are talking about what it would be like if we were all committed to the mission. Open up our hearts to understand the scriptures that speak to us to that point today. And having heard it, Lord, let us go out and improve our own individual lives in relationship to the message. Consider all the ones that have gone before me, Lord, that we might desire to be more like Christ. We might be more effective in our ministries and touch the world for the cause of Christ. Well, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's our objective and goal. So let your anointing rest upon me today as we share from the word of God. Open up the ears of those who are before me to hear what thus says the Lord. And having heard it, may we go out and put it into practice. And we pray it in Jesus' name and for his sakes. Amen. I've been blessed over these last several weeks as we listen to men of God share from the word of God about what if. And as I feel my lot to speak about what if we were all committed, last several weeks I've been contemplating on what should I say in regards to that, that might have some impact in the lives of all of you who sit before me. And so with that in mind, I want to read the passage of scripture that is the basis for our talk today from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through verse 16. So if that gets up on the screen, we're going to read that. There is one body, one spirit, just as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he assembled on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, the ascended, that he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. The topic, when I was given the topic, what if, the thing that comes to mind is, what does that suggest when you ask the question, what if? It suggests that if where we are right now, we're kind of falling short of that goal, because the mission is clear. If we were all committed, the suggestion is we would see a different result from what we observe today in our present situation. As I look at the topics that have gone before me, that suggests that the first one was, what if I put God first? Can you imagine what this church would be like if everybody in here put God first? It would be a lot different. I believe all these seats would be filled. I believe that our personal devotional life would be better. If we put God first, I believe our finances would be better. I think the church would have more than we need to do what we've been called to do. So we're challenged then when we talk about if we were to put God first. Maybe I need to make some changes to make this situation that we're in different from what we are experiencing. What if we put God first? Then the next person talked about, what if I knew how to manage myself? Just think about that. Do you think you'd be in the same place if you knew how to manage yourself better than what you're doing right now? Because that's the question. What if suggests that we're not quite doing it. We might be part of the way, but what if I manage myself better? What if I control my temper better? What if I dealt with my wife in a little different way? And then the last one we had last week, what if grace, no matter what? No matter what your situation is, if you understood the principle of grace, that God gives to you that which you don't deserve, he withholds from you that which you do deserve. If you understand all the implications of that, how much better would your life be? What different perspective would you have upon your life going forward? So all of these questions of what if challenges us to consider where you are right now, where you would be if you put it into practice. And today I'm called to talk about what if we were all committed to the mission. What if we were all committed to the mission? What does it mean to be committed? To be committed means to be dedicated to accomplishing a certain end and goal and objective. And that commitment presupposes that you have bought all in to what the proposition is. It presupposes that you believe altogether in the mission that's before you. And so today I'm going to talk about that and challenge you and ask you to consider yourself in this regard. As I talk about this, I want to understand that our church has a mission. And it's been clearly stated. Pastor Dwayne talks about it all the time. And what the challenge is for us to come to understand what it really means to be committed. First of all, we said it requires you to believe. Now, to believe something means that you have considered the proposition, considered, and that you've come to believe that it is a worthy goal and objective. You've come to accept that the mission is something you want to be a part of. But that presupposes some things that we need to look at and consider today. Now, the challenge then comes to us for each person in this audience today, not to look at your neighbor, not to look at somebody who should have been here, but to look at yourself and ask yourself the question, am I totally committed to the mission of Encounter Life? And for those in the audience watching online, it doesn't really matter if you're a Christian, if you're a part of this local assembly, or whether you're part of the assembly where you worship. The question is, am I totally committed there? Because the mission that has been defined for Encounter Life Church reflects the mission of every Christian church. Every every Christian church should have in some form what we want to do here. And it's based upon what God has told us we ought to be about as a church. And every church has its own way of expressing that. And we've expressed it a certain way. And if you could put up on the screen to me so that everybody can see the mission statement. The mission statement says this. That's the mission statement of this church. But I want you to understand, when you read it, you can say that if you were the First Baptist Church or wherever, it should express what that church is all about in some form or another. Because what the mission statement says is, to exalt God's presence, to enlarge his kingdom, to equip God's people, and express God's love as we engage the culture. That's what every Christian church ought to be about in some form or another. They got a lot of different ways of expressing it. But that's what we say here at this church. Now, I want you to know something here. That a mission statement is reflective of something more deeply, deeper. It is a reflection of the vision. Would you put up for me the vision of the church here? If you have that on there, the vision statement says this. To encounter God's presence, to discover their purpose. That's for everybody, every person everywhere. That's the mission, that's the vision statement of this church. We want people everywhere to encounter God's presence, to discover their purpose, to experience his power through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, every Christian church, wherever you are, in some form or another, should express that idea. Now, if that is the case, we can localize it here at the Washington Christian Center or Encounter Life Church. Now, I would submit to you that many of us in this audience, if we were to ask you, what is the mission of the Washington, of the Encounter Life Church? You'll have to forgive me for that, you know, I just a little, I go. But it's the same, right? If I were to ask anybody in here, could you tell me, what is the vision of the Washington, of the Encounter Life Church? What would you say? You don't have to answer that. Just think about it. If I were to ask you, what is the mission of Encounter Life Church? Could you articulate it? Because if you have trouble articulating it, how can we be all in with it? If you can't articulate it, if you have no idea what it is, how can you be committed to it? For to be committed to it means you must be familiar with it. Be committed to it, you must believe it. To be committed to it, you must have some idea of what the overall purpose is. Because notice what the vision says, encounter God's presence. How do you encounter God's presence? Do you do it on a daily basis? Do you only encounter God's presence when you come to church on Sunday? Is it a Monday through Sunday type of operation for you? Because encounter God's presence suggests that there's a relationship between you and your Father God. Discover your purpose. Do you tie in what God has called you to do with the mission that God has laid upon this assembly going forward? Is it ever present in your mind that what you're doing, the work that you're doing, whether it's a secular job or a spiritual job or whatever it is, are you defining God's purpose for you? Because I'm convinced that men everywhere, there are three questions they want to have answered. Where do I come from? What is my purpose? And where am I going? If you have not gotten a handle on those things, then you're just wandering around, because it is God's design that he made you for a purpose. And the purpose of the church is to help you realize that purpose. The purpose of the church is to connect you with the God of the universe who saved you. And notice what it says. Experience his power. To experience God's power is to understand that when God saved you, he didn't abandon you. Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away, that if I don't go away, then the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come. And what does the Holy Spirit come to do? He comes to empower us. Because if the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, you have the same power available to you to accomplish your purpose. So what God has called you to do, he has equipped you to do. And the church is the instrument through which God equips us, because that's what the text says, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So your purpose is all tied up in your connection to this body of believers that aids you in accomplishing that. He experiences his power. Sometimes we don't realize what we have available to us. The Holy Spirit of God has come to indwell each of us for what purpose? So that we can say we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But we notice what it says, the last thing says, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel is the start of everything. If you're not saved, these resources are not available to you. But when you are saved, God gives you his spirit so that you can accomplish whatever he has ordained you to do. We can look at some examples in scripture. When Moses was called, he said, I can't speak. What was God's response to him? Who made your tongue? It's the same question, it's the same answer he gives to you. What has he called you to do? Whatever he's called you to do, he will equip you to do. And the church of Jesus Christ is the body that God has designed to provide that equipment for you. That's what the text says. To equip the saints to do what? Do the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is not just us who preach. It's for everybody. Because the scripture says there's one body. There's one Lord. There's one baptism. So when you got saved, he puts you in a body of which he is the head. Now, what is the purpose of the head? It's a part of the central nervous system to direct everything. Everything you do comes from here. And God says Jesus Christ is the head. And so if you are in him and he's in you, the power that caused him to be raised from the dead dwells in you, so that there's nothing too hard for God. He said, is there anything too hard for God? You got a little problem with your finances? God's got an answer for it. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and running over. If you're tired, he says, I pour out you an abundance that you not even have enough to receive it, because you are in him. He's in you. Whatever he's ordained, he will perform. And so you have to buy in. You see, the mission comes out of that vision. The mission comes out of the vision. You got to have the vision first. Because the scripture says, where there is no vision, people perish or cast off restraint. I mean, when you have no vision, everybody's running around doing their own thing. I'm serving over here, I'm serving over here. There's no connection between anything. But it's one body, one faith, one baptism. Are you connected? So out of that vision comes the mission. And notice what the mission statement said. To exalt God's presence. Exalt God's presence. That's what we do when we praise and worship. But you exalt God's presence, first of all, by acknowledging your need for a Savior. Because the scripture says Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? Save sinners. How many sinners in here? How many sinners in here? Why y'all short? It's all right to admit that. We all sinners. For all of us are sinners saved by grace. Did you deserve it? No. All the more reason you ought to be committed to the mission. Because he saved you, he wants to save somebody else. And who is he going to save somebody else by? By you. That's our mission. Because the mission says this: enlarge God's kingdom. That's the mission. And so the question comes to you is, are you an instrument in God's hand through which folks who are lost come to be saved? That's what the mission says, enlarge God's kingdom. Now that has to, because what is the scripture in Matthew 20:18? If you have that passage, put that up there for me, would you please? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's the mission. It's born out of this vision of Jesus, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, teaching them to observe all things. Another translation says, make disciples of them. Make disciples. So that's the goal and the mission of this church. Enlarge God's kingdom. Make disciples. Exalt God's presence. Equip people and equip people to do the work of the ministry, to express God's love as we engage the culture. Now look at what's in that, in this mission. That's the mission that's born out of the vision. The vision here is God wants everybody to be saved. It's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this church is all involved in desiring that people be saved. Now I'm going to just give a challenge here. I would take a long shot guess and just say this. I might get in trouble for saying it, but just bear with me. I think everybody in here got somebody in their family that's lost. I'm going to say that again. I think I can say without fear of contradiction that everybody in here got somebody in your family, your children, your cousin, your mama, your grandmama, somebody that's not saved. Would I be right in saying it? All right? The mission says, enlarge God's kingdom. That means God wants folks to be saved. So that, can you imagine now, all these people in here, if everybody in here knows somebody that you love, that you sure you don't want them to go to hell. You just can't imagine this cousin that I've been playing with, raised up with, will die and go to hell. Or my brother, or my sister, or my child will die and go to hell. That's the mission field, folks. If I were committed to the mission, how eager would I be to see to it that they at least heard it? To be all in the mission requires that you understand what the mission is. It didn't come from Pastor Dwayne. It came from Jesus the Christ, who said, I have just been crucified. I have just been raised from the dead. For what purpose? To satisfy the justice of God on your behalf, on Lorenzo McKinney's behalf. Well, did I ask him to do that? No. The scripture says, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And God says, now that I have paid the price for your sins and for the sin of the whole world, and a whole lot of people don't know about that all over the world, he says to me, my commission to you, my mission for you as the church is to go and tell people how to become disciples. So I would say to you, if we were true to the commitment of the missions, if we understood the mission, how could I not share that with other people? How could I not share that with the person sitting right next to me on the job? How could I not share that with the people in my house? Because the scripture says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason for the hope that's within you. What hope do you have? The hope that I have is this. I'm 85 years old in a couple of months. I'm going to die not too long from now. It's all right, baby. It's all right. Because I'm good. I'm good not because I'm good. I'm good because Jesus is good. And what did he say? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No man can pluck them out of my hand. That's where I am. So I'm not scared of dying because I got a promise. And that promise God makes to anybody, whosoever will, let him come. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. People, there's only two choices for people. You're either going to hell or you're going to be saved. Jesus Christ died to save people. So it's important for us to understand the connection to our mission and our actions. Missions enlarge God's kingdom. and exalt his presence. Now, the church's mission, when we have praise and worship, we exalt God. But I'm going to put a little twist in that, too. We put a lot of emphasis on what God's done. We praise, oh, Lord, you're so good. You supply all my needs. We praise it, and we should. That's a good thing. I'm glad the Lord supplies my needs. But the Lord turns around and tells me to do something. And being committed to the mission is not so much what God has done, because that's settled stuff. That ain't going to change. When he committed to doing for you, he's going to do it. And he says he's going to save you, that's what he did. And that's an eternal transaction. But no, we say this faith thing, Bible tells us it works by love. And God says, if you love me, what would you do? You would obey me, keep my commandments. And so what God is calling us to do in response to what he has done is to be committed. To what? Committed to what? What is a disciple? Now notice what the text says. Jesus told them to go and make disciples. He didn't tell them to go and get people to pray the sinner's prayer. You hear what I said? He didn't tell you to go and help people to pray the sinner's prayer. Now it's all right to say it, pray the sinner's prayer. But he said, go and make disciples. Make disciples. Because when you get saved, you ain't necessarily a disciple. When you get saved, what you are is a sinner that has been saved from hell. That's what you are. God has given you eternal life. But making a disciple is a process. You see, Jesus, when he chose his disciples, he went to Peter and Andrew, fishermen, and he said to them this simple word, come follow me. That's all he said. He didn't come say pray the sinner's prayer. He didn't send them through no course. He just says, come follow me. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is one who has acknowledged a master and acknowledged what he's done and says, I want to follow him. So Andrew and Peter, when they got the word, Jesus said, come follow me. The Bible says they left their nets and followed him, as did the other disciples. He didn't send them through no course, didn't send them to seminary. He said them to come follow me. So a disciple then is not only one who has been saved, called out of his life of sin, but has been called to follow the master. Now, to follow the master means you got to go where he goes, experience what he experiences. For what purpose? So that you can become like the master. The purpose of a disciple is to first be converted, then to be trained or equipped, and then to do the work of the ministry. Now, that's what our mission is saying. So the text in Ephesians says that he's gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? What did he say for? To do the work of the ministry. So if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and that's what the mission statement is calling all of us to do, he's calling us first to come and follow him. Now, when you come and follow Jesus, some people get the wrong idea about what that means. Some people think to follow Jesus means you're going to get rich. I'll tell you right now, that's a lie. And you got preachers all over television trying to tell you, if you follow Jesus, according to my formula, you won't have any lack. You won't get sick, you'll have plenty of money in the bank. And a lot of us like to listen to that. That sounds good, but it ain't true. Because Jesus told you what the real deal is. He says, if a man going to be my disciple, he must first do what? Deny himself. Now, that's the first problem. Everything within me don't want to deny myself because I am selfish. Anybody else in here like that? All of us. Those of you who didn't ring your head, I'm going to let you know you all like that too. All of us want to please the self. What is man's desire? Seek pleasure. Avoid pain. That's the opposite of what God calls you to do when you follow him. If a man wants to be my disciple, he must first deny himself. Take up a cross. Why do you take up a cross? It's an instrument of death. That's why the cross is there. It's an instrument of death. Because Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives within me. So a disciple is called to die. And none of us want to do that. But this mission says, that's what my purpose is. If you're going to do, if you're going to exalt God's presence, enlarge God's kingdom, equip God's people, express God's love as you engage the culture, you're going to have to die. Because people ain't going to say thank you. They're not going to say thank you for dying for them. No. That's the suffering. The way of the cross is a way of suffering. And the mission says, if you're going to do that, you're going to suffer. They that would live godly in Christ Jesus, what shall suffer? Persecution. So get used to it. That's our lot. Express his love. Express his love as you engage the culture. You know, I heard a statement yesterday by Joe Reagan. Anybody ever heard of Joe Reagan? Joe Reagan is a podcaster. He talks to all kinds of people. He says, we'd do a lot better in this country if Christians were more likable. We'd do well in this country if Christians were more likable. What does he mean by that? We come across as mean and evil, judgmental, condemning. And who wants to be a part of that? It ain't patterned after Jesus. Jesus, when he dealt with sinners, one of the things against Jesus, that the Pharisees had against Jesus, was you always hobnobbing with sinners. And we see it in the scriptures. When they brought that woman caught in adultery, they said, now just imagine this now. They said they caught her in the very act. It was no hearsay evidence. They were in the room when the sister was with the brother. And they were doing their thing. They yanked up out of there and brought her before Jesus. I can see some of us now, particularly some of us preachers, catch somebody in that kind of condition. Who does she think she is? Put her off the committee. Put her out of the church. So these brothers brought this woman to Jesus. And he says, he wrote something on the ground. He says, now you who without fault cast the first stone. They all just slipped on out. Because they were all guilty of something. And Jesus said to the woman, where are your accusers? Said, I don't know, Lord, they're gone. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Share God's love as you engage the culture. You got to show people the love of God, which we understand that there but by the grace of God go I. Every one of us in here is capable of some of the most hideous things. None of us are exempt from the temptations of this world. And if we're going to cause people to come to a loving Savior, we have to mirror that. We don't ever find Jesus. You know the people that Jesus got all upset with was the Pharisees, religious people, who's always condemning folks, putting them down. But you see, if you're going to share God's love as you engage the culture, you got to take on an attitude of love. It doesn't excuse the sin, because he told the woman, go and sin no more. But he didn't beat up on her, because the law did say, if you caught an adulterer, you ought to be stoned. That's the law. But the law doesn't save people. The law just lets you know what's wrong and what's right. And the mission of the church is to be able to win people. And to win them by God's love. Not excusing their sin. Because Jesus never excused sin. He confronted it. That's why the scripture gave us the scripture that says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You see, think about this for a moment. And everybody who's a member of this assembly, and everybody who's a member of the assembly anywhere, God calls you to this mission. As I said, the mission that we have at Encounter Life Church It's not different from any ministry of a Christian church anywhere. It's all based on the same premise of what Jesus told us to do when he left here. Go into all the world and make disciples. Make disciples, and as I said, it requires conversion. It requires training. And requires commitment to the mission. So the mission is a task that's given in which you go out from where you are. That's what we call the mission field. That's why we send missionaries out all over the world. Because sinners are all over the world. But as we go out, we must be equipped. Now, so the mission of this church is to equip people to do it. That's why I'm up here today. That's why Pastor Dwayne's preaching all the time. That's why Brother Dave are preaching, and Brother Al. We all preaching for what purpose? To equip the saints. And now I'm going to let you know, just a little plug here. I had a preacher came visit one Sunday, and he came to me afterwards. And he said, I'm going to just say something to you. He says, you are a blessed man. He had been here several Sundays and heard Pastor Dwayne preach. He'd heard Pastor Al preach. He'd heard Pastor Dave preach and Brother Dave Nutt preach. He says, it's unusual to have a church this size, to have men who can handle the word of God like that. That's what a visitor told me. I said, praise God, brother. And I said, I can identify with that. And why is that too? Because these men have been trained to do that. Not because they had some special course, but because they've lived in an environment where the word of God was supreme. And wherever that is, we're equipping the saints. If you're in a Bible study in this church, you have been equipped to do the work of the ministry. You might not have a title, but you should be able to talk to that child in your house that needs to hear the good news in such a way that they can receive it, showing that you love them as you tell them that. Don't beat them over the head with the Bible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not following my notes here. But I want to talk a minute about the call to the missions. I want to emphasize this point. I'm trying to define the mission, but I want you to know that every one of us in this building who's saved is called to that. So that's why I would just suggest that you get a copy, if we can get a copy, to every member of this mission statement and the vision statement. And to know, so that lets you know what we're all about, what we're trying to accomplish here. Because every one of us is called. And every one of us is called to participate in this body to be equipped. That's why we always emphasize so much importance of daily devotional time. There's no excuse for it, folks. If you're a believer and you're not regularly in the Word of God, letting the Word of God speak to you about your own individual personal situation, then you're going to miss out on being equipped to do the work of the ministry. So some of us are so afraid to share our faith. But if this church is going to grow, I just want to say here, I'm blessed to see as many of you out here today. This is a nice little audience here today. After the pandemic, when we first came back, we'd come time, and sometimes we may have few people. But over time, it is increasing. And my challenge to us is this. Let us all be more proactive, not just to fill up the seats, but proactive in seeing that people who don't know the Lord can come to a place where they can hear the gospel being preached and all of its ramifications, and being challenged every day. Because I'm challenged all the time. I have to repent all the time because I'm still dwelling in this flesh. And I can't go 3 or 4 days without the Word of God. Any more than I can go 3 or 4 days without eating. The Bible says us desire the sincere miracle of the Word, that you might do what? Might grow by it. But I want to emphasize this point here to you. The importance of having a personal relationship with God. You're going to exalt God's presence in your life. And you do that by honoring His word. God says of Himself, I honor my word more than my name. The word of God is essential to your growth and development. And you notice what discipleship requires: conversion, it requires training, it requires commitment to the mission. Because Jesus said, come and follow me. Where are you going, Jesus? I'm going to the cross. You coming with me? Peter says, yes, I'm coming with you. They got to go by me before they get to you. And many of us have that same testimony. But when the little girl says, weren't you with Jesus? Don't know him. Never heard of him. As a matter of fact, I'll curse you. Some of us that way, in the presence of opposition, we shrink because we don't want to die. Because Jesus is going to the cross. Are you the king of the Jews? You say, I am. Are you a believer on your job? When everybody else is going south, do you go with them? Or do you take a stand? Says, I want to give you an answer for the hope that I have. So, the nature of the work, and why the cross is so essential for us to understand, the nature of the work is that we're going into a hostile environment. The scripture in Ephesians says this, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. There are spiritual forces at work here. And we need to understand that. We understand the impact that it has on us. Of course, you consider Peter, one of my favorite apostles. When Jesus was talking to him about the cross and saying, that's where I'm headed. You remember Peter's response? You can't go there, Lord. That's not for you. You're the Son of God. Now, who was the origin? What was the origin of that declaration from Peter? Peter thought it was coming from him. Peter thought, I'm expressing my sympathy for you, my desire to protect you, Lord. What did Jesus thought about it? Get thee behind me, Satan. That was from Satan. So when you want to represent Christ on your job, in your house, on the subway, or wherever you are, don't let people say, wonderful, that's a wonderful thought you tell me that. I've just been waiting to hear that all my life. They're likely to curse you out. So you believe that garbage? That's what they're likely to say. But you got to be able to receive the reproaches of Christ, for that's what he received. And whatever he received, if you are his follower, you can expect to receive the same thing. And that doesn't feel good. But that's the nature of the walk with God. When you want to stand for righteousness to accomplish this mission, there are many people who are saved today who cursed the person out that first shared it with them. But God so orchestrated the circumstances in their life that they came to recognize the value of what was being told to them. You might not ever see it, because God says, one plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. And the planting and the waters are done by people of faith. They're done by people who are part of a body. They're done by people who have this kind of mission statement in vow. They exalt God's presence, to enlarge God's kingdom, equip God's people, and express God's love. Because it's a love thing to tell somebody that they're lost and need to come to faith. That's a love thing. Because that's what God loved us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. And so we keep that in mind. The other thing I want to talk about here is implementing the mission. When we say that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, that's what he did. But I want you to know, Jesus gives us a lot of examples in the scriptures that help us understand what this process is like. Luke chapter 8, Jesus talks about the parable of the sower. He said, the sower went forth to sow. Some of the seed he fell on along the path. Some of the seed fell on the rocky ground. Some of the seed fell on thorns. And only one place where the seed took root, on good ground. Now, that's what we are called to do, to sow the seed. And if we sow the seed, some of it is going to fall along the path. The seed is the word of God. That's what the Bible tells us. We need to be filled with the word of God. Some fell on the thorns and says, deceitfulness of riches found it out. Some fell on good ground. I want to talk about that good ground. Now, all of these are representatives of types of soil. And we need to recognize that we don't always just share with people who have a heart to reach. Most people, notice there's a 4-to-1 ratio here. 4-to-1 ratio on the place where the seed fell. For whatever reason, it got gobbled up, didn't take root because of a lot of things that happened in the person's life. But it says some fell on good ground. And the Bible tells us this. Don't cast your pearls before swine. But it's my responsibility to tell people. It's not my responsibility to save anybody. But I think it is our responsibility sometimes to prepare the soil. To prepare the soil. Preparing the soil. I want to talk about that for a moment. Because any of us have thrown seed on alongside the path, and it just didn't take root. Some people have thrown seed on stony ground, didn't take root. And thorns, it's been taken. But there are some soils that we have the capacity to prepare to receive it. Now, one thing is very clear to me as I read the Bible, and that is this, that God's intent is for his message to go forth and to be effective, primarily beginning at home. I'm going to say that again. God's primary method of reaching people is through the family. That's the first institution that he instituted. And I believe it is our responsibility, those of us who are parents, grandparents, or in a family in any way, to see to it that this message of expanding God's kingdom begins at home. And it's our responsibility to prepare the soil. Why I say that? Because I say this. Children are wicked. I didn't create that. The Bible says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. God says, beat him with the rod. It won't kill him, but it'll save his soul from hell. Now, that's where you prepare the soil. God says, it's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And since children are heritage of the Lord, they are a gift from God. And he put it in your house or in my house. It is my responsibility to prepare the soil, because children are not saved because they got saved parents. Children are saved because they come to recognize they're sinners and need a Savior. And it is the responsibility of parents to help them know that. Now, I'm going to tell you what the problem is sometimes. Everybody is responsible for themselves. The Bible tells us parents won't be punished for the children, the children won't be punished for the parents. It's an individual responsibility. But God gives me, as a parent, a responsibility of putting the foundation for the soil to be receptive to the Word of God. That's why in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and you heard us talk about this a whole lot. These things shall first be in your heart, and then you shall teach them diligently to your children when you get up in the morning, when you go by the way, when you come home at night. Why is that so, Lord? Because I can prepare the soil to help that little child know that he's a sinner needing a Savior. And I'm not talking about to have them just to pray a sinner's prayer, to come to understand their corrupt nature, because the Bible says that. Children go astray from the womb speaking lies. Now, who can deny that? Everybody who has a child knows he'll lie to you in a minute, and you don't have to train him to do that. They just do it instinctively because it's their very nature. But the Word of God says the rod will drive it far from him. Why? For what purpose? You want his soul to be receptive to the Word of God. Ask that little child, do you want to be saved? I'm going to give you a personal example of that. I'm not going to call any names, but Dwayne got saved first. Dwayne got saved first. And he asked his sister, don't you want to be saved, Nika? No. She said it with vigor. Now, she had not been convicted that she was a sinner like that. It took for her to get caught in sin. for her to come to the realization at the direction of her mother when she found out that she had caught in a lie. Would you forgive me? But what I'm saying here is that Saul had been prepared that when sin was revealed, that the answer was to be saved, to commit your life. That you got to prepare it, Saul. And after that, you got to nurture that soil. You got to nurture it. Because anybody who knows about gardening, when you plant something, you have to nurture it. Because it's planted doesn't mean it's just going to grow up and the weeds not going to get there. You're just going to grow up and give you fruit. No, you have to nurture it. If you nurture it, then you bring it to a place of blossoming. The Bible says that you go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit remains. That's a part of the mission. If you notice at this church, that's something we've been emphasizing forever. And what happens sometimes, I'm coming to a close, is this. Is sometimes we're so interested in getting them to make a confession of faith that we fail to do what's necessary to follow it up. To have them to be nurtured in the Word where they become to see themselves as in need of a Savior and in need of being sanctified. The Scripture says, sanctify them by the truth. The Word is truth. And when we do that, then we fulfill the mission. And what happens is, when they have children, He said, the Scripture says, that the generation to come will set their hope in God and not forget the works of your hands. So we need to prepare the soil, nurture the plant, and allow it to grow and bring forth fruit. Now, the Scripture tells us we need to do that in love, because it requires love. Faith which works by love. And the Bible tells us when we equip ourselves, we'll be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of us the reason for the hope that we have. And one of the things we're going to do here is the challenge to you. Consider your environment and who in your environment not walking with God or have not been saved. And ask God to give you wisdom to how to take the Word of God and bring it to that person or those persons in a loving way that will invite their consideration of what you're offering. For there's no greater love that can be expressed than when one lay down his life for his friend. And when you take on the opportunity to share God's love, be ready and be prepared to receive rejection, ostracism, because that's the nature of the work. Because we are called to follow Christ. And where did he go? He went to the cross. If we're going to be his disciples, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. And I would submit to you, if we do that, very soon we'll see all these chairs filled. We'll see more people online. We'll see people giving testimony of the wonderful work that God has done in their lives. As we do what God says, equip the saints to do the work of the ministry so that God's design for his fulfillment of his commission to us go into all the world. Proclaim the gospel. Those that believe and baptize shall be saved. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just say thank you today for the vision of this church, for the leadership of this church, for the people who have been impacted by the work of the ministry here. It is my prayer today, Lord, that each one of us in this place, present company included, will be burdened by the desire of your heart that none be lost, but that all will come to repentance. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we pray, O God, that if there's somebody in this audience today who's never given their life to Christ, may the word of love come to them today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. While our eyes are closed, our hearts are praying, if there's somebody in this audience who's never given your life to Christ, that's the starting point. becoming a disciple, first must there must be a conversion from where you are, where God wants you to be. Being justified in his sight, where your sins are not counted on you or put on your account. Therefore, being justified by faith, the Bible tells us, we have peace with God. The war between you and God is ceased, not because of the things you do, but because what you believe. And what you believe, you'll really commit to. And so if you're ready today to ask him to come into your life and forgive you of all your sins, he'll save you. As simple as ABC. We must first admit that we have a need for a Savior, admit that we're sinners. B, must believe that Jesus Christ paid that debt that you owed on your behalf. You'll never have to pay for it. And then you have to make that choice to choose him. He said, he that comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. So if there's anybody in this audience today who's ready to start that journey of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ with a promise that he gives you that you'll never perish, I want you to just raise your hand. Is there anybody in this audience who's never given Christ your life? You want to be a part of a mission here to see that this word has gotten out and that each of us who are saved will continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Is there somebody who wants to give your life to Christ today? Raise your hand. Amen. Praise God. One other call I want to give out to. If there's somebody in here who's listened to the message today and says, I have not considered myself all in this mission of sin to it, Lord, that we exalt your presence, that we expand your kingdom, that we equip the saints, and that we share your love as we engage the culture. If somebody here who's saved, but you haven't been all committed to that, you want to have a renewed commitment of being committed to the mission, won't you just raise your hand? Is anybody here want to say, have a renewed commitment to the mission? Anybody want to recommit yourself to the mission of seeing that we carry out the Great Commission? I ought to see everybody's hands up in here. Praise God. I want to challenge you, whether you raise your hand or not. Renew your commitment to seeing that God's purposes will be done. I want to sing that song. I like that song. I surrender all. I think we most know that. Let's sing that. Huh?
Today, one who's so dear to us. Thank you, Pastor Matt. Thank you, Pastor Matt. It is such a blessing. He says he's 85. It's such a blessing that we still have him here. It is such a blessing. We are tremendously blessed with our pastor, Dwayne McKinney. But God always goes above whatever we can even think. or imagine. He's the El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. So he's given us enough in our wonderful pastor, but he's given us more than enough that we still have with us today, our pastor emeritus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And thank you, pastor, for being used again. As we return to our worship, as we prepare to give, I just want to share something with you that's on my heart really quickly about our giving, about how Encounter Life Church enlarges God's territory, enlarges God's kingdom, equips and expresses God's love. During the pandemic, I felt led to share it with you because you may not know, but during the pandemic, we created something called Encounter Life Cares. And in Encounter Life Cares, we would search out the community close by and anyone that we knew within our community to see what needs they had during the pandemic. And it is because of your giving that we were able to give over and over to homeless shelters, to battered women organizations, to individuals. It is because of what you're about to do now. I want you to see that connection, that we're not just giving to be giving. We also, because of your giving, we were able to be here, to exist in this building, and we would allow food and friends to come and drop off foods to take out into the community to people who could not get out of their homes. That's what we did. That's what God allowed us to do with the givings. Our pastor, we were able, praise God, and Brother Hamlin could affirm this, we were able to continue to pay our pastor. He did not have to go out and get a fourth job. He already has three or four. He did not have to go get a fourth or fifth. And so he was available to us all during the pandemic. And we know, and Brother Derek can affirm, there were several deaths in the pandemic. And we never had to ask our pastor, can you take off your job to do a funeral? Because we were able to continue to pay him. That's what your giving does. So at this time, would you join in the celebration of giving? The celebration of giving back to God that which he has given to us for the enlargement of his kingdom, so that we can continue to equip the saints, so that we can continue to express God's love and make an impact on the culture. That's what our giving does. So we're going to celebrate as you prepare to give. If you're at home now, you can give to Cash App, the $ Encounter Life, or you can text the word give to 301-804-2520, or you can mail it in. Don't forget Brother Dwight over there. He put his hands up. He wants to join us in the celebration of giving. Thank you, Brother Dwight. You shouldn't have told me your name because I'm going to call on you now. Thank you, Brother Dwight. Yes. And then you can mail it to our address, Encounter Life Church, 2200 Caldera Drive in Temple Hills, Maryland, 20748. And for those who are in the building, come on and celebrate him with your giving. Celebrate him with your giving. He says a cheerful giver. So we should be making some noise during this giving time. We should be making some praise during this giving time. This is part of the worship. God, thank you. Thank you for what you've given us, that we can just give back a small portion to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. This should be a loud time in our worship service. Hallelujah. That we might continue to make an impact, that we might continue to enlarge his kingdom, that we might continue to equip. The leaders are preparing to go on a retreat. We need to equip the leaders of the church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So the ushers have passed the baskets around. Is there anyone who missed the opportunity to give? We'll come back to you. We don't want to miss anyone. This is an opportunity. I'm going to pray over our giving. And then after I pray over our giving, I'm going to call our pastor, Pastor Dwayne McKinney, up. And he's going to have a special prayer for back to school. This is our back to school Sunday. We see you all repping your universities, your schools. Some of you wore the shirts. Some of you had to dig him out, dust him off. I won't call him by his name. and our children will be going back to school. Public school goes back tomorrow in this area. And the Living Water schools, I believe they go back after Labor Day. So we want to have a time of blessing over them after we pray over the bless, over the giving. Lord God, everything in heaven and earth comes from you, and we say thank you. We say thank you, Lord. We know that wealth and honor comes from you. You're the ruler of all things, your Bible says. In your hands are strength and power, and you give that to us that we might increase and then bless the world that you put us in. But more importantly, bless your name by sending out those, equipping those, encountering those that might do your work as you've called them to do. Lord, thank you for the provisions. Thank you that you're the one who provides. Be pleased with our giving. Speak to our hearts to give more, to give sacrificially if you call us to. Lord God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pass me, God.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Oh, wow. Can we give it up for Pastor Mac once again? For God, amen. Thank God for Pastor Mac. Amen. I mean, every time I can hear him give the word, amen. 85 years old. He don't look like it, amen. And I praise God for that. Thank you. And I pray that we all be committed to the mission. And I think that's such a fitting message as we are here on the brink of school starting tomorrow. For those of you who are in Prince George's County, I think in Virginia, some they started this week. Virginia started this week. I know some of the private schools, Anika School, Living Water School, will start after Labor Day. So what we want to do, I know in our congregation, we not only have students, but we also have educators, people who are in the school system, people who work either in private school or public school. Praise God, this year I'm a chemistry teacher. I'm teaching chemistry this year. She said about 3 or 4 jobs. I'm teaching chemistry at the Living Water School this year. Amen. So y'all say, look, chemistry was my minor in college, so I am qualified. I can teach it. Amen. So I'm excited. I've got my books for the year. I've been going through and trying to get my lessons and my stuff ready already. See, last year I taught biology, but I can only do a part-time. Now I was like, ooh, I don't have a job to go to, so now whoever's in my chemistry class, it's not going to be as easy as it was last year. Amen. Amen. But I'm excited. So I want to do this. All of our educators, if you are an educator as well as our students, and if we could do this, if someone could get our young people in the classroom, I know in children's church, we want to bring them forward. We want to just lay hands on our kids, pray over our educators. Lord, have mercy. We're in a rough time and season. Amen. You know, it used to be a time you send your kids off to school. It's like, okay, they're going off to school. Now you just, Lord, have mercy. You're worried about guns in school. You're worried about violence. You're worried about so many other things. So we need to pray God's covering over our children and our educators as they go and prepare to go back to school. That God, especially those of us in all of them, but in the public school system, we have educators here in the public school system that know they got to be creative about being about the mission. Amen. Because that the system doesn't even want to allow you to really pour into your kids, into the kids like they need to be poured into. So ask God to give you wisdom how to get around the system and still be able to give the young people what they need, not just academically, but spiritually as well. So at this time, if you are a student, if you're going off to college, I know some of you as parents may have sent your kid off to college this week. We want you to come as well on behalf of your student who may be already to college. But if you're in school, if you're in college here locally, Bowie, Howard, wherever, we want you all to come. I'm going to ask all of our students to come, all of our teachers, school administrators. If y'all could come down right now, come forward. We want to pray with you and for you. Pray with you and for you. If you're a student as well, high school, college, elementary, all of our students, we want y'all to come down as well. Amen. If you're going to be involved in the school system in any way, any capacity, we need to see you at the altar. College, high school, doesn't matter where you are. Amen. Our children are coming from Children's Church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Let's make it tight. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in, y'all. Everybody. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but he says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If you could do this, I want us all behind them to just extend your hands forward, one, two hands if you want. If you're a parent, if you want to come up here and put your hand on your baby, you can. I don't mind. If you want to come up and lay your hand on your child, you can. Amen. How many know the devil has an agenda? But our God is able. He's greater. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. He's a God. I was reading this morning in Psalm 46. He is our refuge and strength. He's our shelter. Hallelujah. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for everyone on this at this altar, God. For every child, every student, whether from elementary to college. Thank you for every educator, for every school administrator. God, because the mission, Lord God, the school system is a great fertile field for the mission. And I thank you for our educators who are here, who you've called out, Lord God, to be in that secular realm, in that realm in the school system, so that they might cover our children. God, I pray now in the name of Jesus that you will cover them. Watch over them. Protect them. Keep them safe. God, I come against Satan right now in the name of Jesus. I come against the enemy, and God, declare that you cancel every plan that he has for these kids. That, Lord God, that you reign and you rule. I pray that you will surround each child with young people that will influence them for good and not for evil. I pray, God, that you'll raise up a Joshua generation. That you'll allow these young people to be leaders, to be the head and not the tail. That, God, they will stand up for righteousness no matter what anyone else does. Shelter them. Keep them from danger, God. God, I come against the spirit of violence in the schools. God, I pray now that you will be a covering for our children. Lord, I pray you'll be a covering for our teachers. Give them wisdom, Lord, as they're in the public school realm, how to be able to communicate and proclaim the gospel to these young people. Lord, use them, Lord. Cause them to be, Lord God, a vessel, Lord God, to be a covering for the young people in their various schools. And we thank you in advance. God, I pray that you'll use this group that is right here in front of us to expand your kingdom. I pray that as a result of them being in their schools, that more people come to know you. That more people come to be saved. I pray, Lord, now that they will be in the world, but not of the world. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Not only that, God, I pray that you will cause them to excel in their academics. That, Lord God, that they can be an example to their schools and to their peers by how they do their work with excellence, Lord God. Let this be the best year for them yet. We praise you in advance because we know we're praying according to your will. And we thank you. Now I pray for every parent that, Lord, they will never cease to pray. Cause us not to worry. Cause us not to be anxious, to put our faith and our trust in you. We praise you, we honor you, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give God a hand praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Before we get ready to close, today, as a special day, we wanted to pray over our students, and some of our students, we all know, we have some of our students who are also athletes, and I have an opportunity to coach a youth basketball program, four-point play. Thank you for all of you who have supported and prayed for us. And today, I know our team, some of our team members will be here. Some of them are here today. I see some of our young men, and I thank y'all for some of the prayers. Some of them have actually, I know Brother Charles. Charles is a student at Living Water. He's been here at the church and at the school since he was little. He went off to prep school this week with Athletes in Action, has a prep program, and he went off this week. Please pray for him that God will continue to be with him. There's another one or two that are leaving for school this week coming, so pray for them. But there's some of them who are still in high school, and we're going to do a fundraiser for them today. So I want to give a huge shout out to the Selman family, Natalie and John and Brother Big Jeff, who have prepared a fish for those of us who, after you heard a good word, you want to eat. Amen. I don't know about you. After you hear a good word, you want to eat something. So if you all stay after, if you are in the parking lot, we got fish outside. And we're doing that as a fundraiser for a 4-point play for the boys. They're preparing to travel for tournaments and different things. So if you all would support them, they will be greatly appreciated at the fish fry. You're welcome to stay around for fellowship and enjoy some good food afterwards. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we all stand? We're going to just prepare to close in a word of benediction. I want to thank Brother Al Seward. Can we give it up for Brother Al for just orchestrating this last 5 weeks or so, and Brother Al, this series on what if, and just orchestrating it. I want to give it up to Brother Al, but also for Brother Dave and Pastor Mac and Pastor Whitaker. Pastor Whitaker came and preached through here last week. Amen. And I'm excited. I don't know about y'all. I told my wife, I said, okay, now I'm ready to preach again now. Amen. Amen. I know when you know when you're called to do something, I don't know. I was full. I wanted to preach this morning. I had the can't help it this morning. I know somebody in my back, they said, who is this man hollering, making all this noise out on that deck? God is good. Amen. God is good. So I'm looking forward to bringing the word. Amen. Starting next month and being back. But I thank all y'all for your prayers. And let's just continue to cover one another and pray for our kids. Amen. Amen. And let's be about the mission. Let's commit this week to being about the mission. The Great Commission is our mission. Let's not just talk about it, but be about it this week. Amen. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us. And we pray that this week we have a fresh encounter with you. And having encountered you, that we will understand the purpose that you have on our lives. And as we walk in that purpose, that we will experience your power. Your power to have a healthy marriage, power to parent our kids, power to organize our finances, power to be the kind of co-workers that you call us to be. God, power, Lord God, to impact the world for you. Now, as we leave this place, but not your presence, watch over us, protect us, bring us back again at the time appointed. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.